Welcome to the Full Potential Podcast. I am your host, Nick Wagner Sr., and every week I interview guests that share career stories, ideas, and experiences to empower and inspire people to reach their full potential. If you enjoy the episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. Thanks for listening. All right. Welcome, everyone. Nick Wagner, Sr. It is Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, which means I'm back with another episode of the Full Potential Podcast. If you're just new to the show and just tuning in, almost every Sunday, I get to sit down with some really inspirational guests to hear about their career journey. And today, I actually have two guests, which is not uncommon, but not as frequent as just one. So we're gonna have a fantastic discussion tonight. And again, people always ask me, Emily and Rachel, like, why do I do this? And I believe that individuals can learn a lot from hearing about other people's career journeys. So what have you done in your career journey? What's inspired you? Where have you been successful? Where have you failed? And all that you've learned can help other people learn as well. So that's why I do this. And I have some amazing guests on from all different organizations and companies and nonprofits. And it's really just been an awesome journey over the past 4 years. So let's start with the two of you. So Emily Orzada and Rachel Ginatowski, welcome to the Full Potential Podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to have the two of you. And I said earlier before we were jumping on that I've never interviewed anyone that has done what you've done. So you are both professional dancers, and you own your own dance company, which I've interviewed a lot of entrepreneurs, but no one that's owned a dance company. So we're going to dive into that because it's definitely unique. And the only thing I know about dancing is what my 7 and 5 year old do, which is a lot different from what the two of you do. So we'll have to hear about that. But so I'm thrilled to have you, and I appreciate both of you making time because I know you're really busy. But why don't we start with, because I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand this. You both started the New England Ballet Theater. So real quick, like, what is the New England Ballet Theater before we dive into how you ended up running it? But like in a few words, what is it? Like, and what is it? Like, and why did you start it?
So it's a nonprofit organization. We started it in early 2020. So about a year and a half ago almost. And it started with just professional dancers. So there was about 8 of us, professional dancers, putting on productions, new shows. And it's grown from there to include school and educational programming, as well as the big productions that the company and the professional dancers are putting on.
Very cool. And when you say, and I want to make sure the audience understands that there's a lot of different type of dance, right? But you focus specifically on ballet.
Right, correct.
And for those that don't know what ballet is, you want to just share with my audience? Because I'm sure some people know that, but probably not everyone.
Sure, yeah. Ballet is a very classical form of dance. You start really little at the bar, and it kind of moves a lot slower than other kinds of dance, but it's very technical and something that really stands out, that differentiates that from different kinds of dance, is the pointe shoes and the classical and the history of it that has been carried on from hundreds of years. We're still doing some choreography that is from when those ballets were created.
Very cool. So no, I appreciate you sharing a little bit of the background just so make everyone understands. So you run your own dance company, you're professional dancers. Mm-hmm. Tell me how this started, right? Because I was saying earlier that I feel like this is a lot of little kids' dreams to do what you're doing, but not everyone gets to do it. So were both of you gung-ho about this since you were little kids, or was this something that kind of evolved over time? I want to hear how this started.
Go ahead. For me, this is not something that I have ever, if you told, 9-year-old me that one day I'd be owning a professional ballet company, I'm not sure, maybe she'd be super excited about it, but I'm not sure if that's something that ever had crossed her mind. And honestly, until me and Rachel were actually typing our names and co-directors, it had never even really hit me until then that like, okay, this is what, you know, my career path is going to be, running a professional ballet company. And, yeah.
Yeah. Same. I don't think I think I knew I wanted to, produce and choreograph and be on the production side of things. And I knew I wanted to be in dance for my entire career. But again, I think I always had thought of backup plans, or I had thought of other avenues. And I don't think it really hit me that this was an option until, when we started in 2020, we said we were going for it.
And did the two of you start doing ballet when you were very young?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So you always loved dancing. You just didn't know, you didn't know it ended up being a career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to like this extent either. I think it's more common for, older dancers, maybe in their 40s, who have retired, or a lot of men to take director and higher leadership roles. But to be two women who are still in their performing careers, I think is really different. Mm-hmm. That's why it was
hard. I did not know that fun fact. So thank you for sharing. So I guess at what point, because you both ended up going to college, and I want to hear, like, at what point did you realize that you were going to dance? Like this was more serious, right? Like you were going to dance, you know, after high school and keep moving forward with this. Like at what point do you remember like a conversation with one of your coaches or one of your, you know, your directors, like you really have enough to go to that next level? Like, do you remember that conversation? Cause I feel like that must've been a big deal.
I really remember when my parents were like sitting me down at the table and were like, you know, what do you want to do after high school? What are you going to do in college? And it was really expected of me to go to college because my mom is a professor in college. So, that was on my path to go to college for sure. And, so they, you know, asked me like, do you want to dance? And that was kind of the first time dance as a career had ever really, you know, like, of course I love dance and I never had thought of quitting. So that's kind of why I was like, okay, yeah, I guess I should think about it as a career, think about it more seriously. And, I ended up going to college only for 1 year, just as my freshman year. So that for me was, a good experience because I was, thrown into a lot of different kinds of dance, but, like not just ballet. Like I grew up at a strictly ballet studio where we learned kind of some jazz, some hip hop, some contemporary and modern. But at this college, I really went full force into modern and hip hop and jazz. And that was totally new for me. So like going back to your question, when in college did you realize that dance was like the path you wanted to choose? Pretty soon once I got there, I realized I was like, okay, like this kind of dancing is fun, but I really realized like this is what I want to do. Ballet is for me. That's the kind of style that I, you know, resonate the most with. That's what I grew up with. And that's, even though I could have changed a path from what I grew up with, that's really what I wanted to stick with. And so it was really soon in my first year of college that I was like, I think I want to perform in a professional company. So I kind of changed gears, and after my first year went on to dance with a professional company, and then never looked back.
Thanks, Emily. And Rachel, what about you?
I don't think I realized that this was a path in high school that I could go down either. It wasn't until, you know, everyone was in class, and I think just as peers and friends, we were talking about what we were going to do as juniors in high school, I realized that I wasn't ready to let go. Wasn't ready to let go of this chapter of my life. I wasn't ready to quit yet. And so that's when it really hit me that I think I wanted to look into dance in college. And kind of like Emily too, it wasn't really an option not to go to college. That was definitely something that all of us, all of my siblings, we had to go for something. And that was something my parents, they were supportive of dance being my major, but they absolutely were adamant that I had to study something else too. So I guess I still in the back of my head always thought, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to dance for a little while, but then I'll have another career and I'll use my other major in some other way. And I just haven't been ready to say like I'm done, if that makes sense.
So I mean, you know, the amount of people that make it to the level that the two of you have made it to is obviously not a high percentage to dance in professional dance companies. You both have moved quite a bit, right? Because I think you have to go where there's opportunities for the professional dance companies. How long have you both danced professionally before you decided to maybe plant some roots and build this company?
I was at my first company for 3 years. And then, so I think I was dancing professionally for 6 years before we started this company.
Yeah, I think I started dancing professionally in 2013. So
what is the, because I think many people probably have no idea the answer to this. What is like the day-to-day life of a professional dancer? I think people think, okay, you probably practice a lot. And then you obviously have performances where people pay and go see you perform. But like, share a little bit about, you know, the experience for the two of you, because that obviously is very different from what you're doing now, which is running, you know, your organization. But what was it like while you danced professionally? Was it a lot of travel? Share a little bit.
Generally, the studio or the companies that I would perform for, they'd dance around that state that they were in. Some companies would travel to different states, but I can't remember that I got that opportunity. The question.
What's typical day or a typical week?
Okay. So the typical week, back in other companies that I was dancing in, we would dance from Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then on Saturdays, we would dance from like 11 to 5 p.m. And then when we were in the theaters, we would be there, for Nutcracker, we'd be there all day, every day, for rehearsals and shows. And sometimes there'd be three shows in a day.
Wow.
Yes, depending on how big the company was and how many. Sometimes they do performances for schools, so they come during the day. And then at night, you'd do shows for, like, the general public. Something we're trying to do with our company is really let dancers know that they are other things besides dancers. And so in our company, we rehearse from 10 to 2:30, which is still so much time to rehearse. And they still have time to go to work and teach and do other guesting opportunities too, if they'd like.
Yeah, because that was something else that was important to us was financial stability. And sometimes what we found in the industry was you were maybe getting paid, but really it wasn't that much of a paycheck. Or sometimes you had to choose between financial stability and performing. And so we, especially starting out, we can't give everyone what they deserve since we are a nonprofit. So we decided, well, we're not going to put anyone in that position, try to minimize that as much as we can, until we can give everyone everything and more that they deserve. Because that was something that we came across with the scheduling.
I can't, that is a lot of dancing for 1 week. I can't imagine how exhausting that must be, but I love your idea for your companies. So this begs the question, you're both still young in your careers. You're both still able to dance, right? As Rachel said, like a lot of times people that maybe have stopped dancing or retired from dancing would start a company. What made you a year and a half ago start the New England Ballet Company? Like why give up dancing to do this?
Yeah. So, well, that's two parts because we still are dancing. So even though we are directing, we still dance and we're still rehearsing, which can be a bit of a challenge from time to time. But we decided, we had met, Emily and I had met, I think in 2018 or 17 at the Fort Wayne Ballet in Indiana. And ever since then, we've kind of been talking and, you know, with friends, casually with peers, you know, we like this, we like that. These are things we would change. These are things that, you know, and really around the pandemic, you know, it's kind of how this started, was things started shutting down and people weren't dancing. And it was like, you know what, now's the time. Let's go for it. We want to keep dancing. I think we can make an impact. I think there's things that we could positively affect in our community and our industry. So like, let's just really go for it.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I mean, and we're going to talk about what it was like starting this, like right before COVID, but, so when you think about you're both still dancing and you're running the organization, which I think is pretty cool. And to your point, Rachel, probably that adds in a whole other set of challenges, but when you think about like where you were going to start the company, like why did you end up, you know, I'm a big Connecticut fan, but why did you start it in Hartford, Connecticut? Like how did you end up in Hartford? I don't think either of you are from Hartford, if I remember, or from Connecticut. So how did this happen? Why Connecticut?
Yeah. So after we were dancing in Indiana, Rachel and I both auditioned to be all over the country to be in different companies, and we got into the same one that was in Hartford. And when that contract ended, you know, we were thinking about the dance community, and the dance community in Hartford, it's really big. It's great. There's a lot of different kinds of dance. And I think that we thought that there was a missing part of the ballet part. There used to be a big ballet company called the Hartford Ballet. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of hoping to, and they were a big part of the like the Arts Council when it started in Hartford. So we kind of want to hopefully step into their shoes.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel, didn't you say there's a lot of history with ballet in Connecticut?
Yeah, that's kind of what Emily is talking about, that there was the Hartford Ballet, and it was really well-loved within the community, and they helped found the Arts Council. They were, you know, as big as the symphony, and people came from all over the world to dance with them, and they're still here in the community teaching at, like, local universities and schools. And we had even gone to an outreach the West Hartford Senior Center, I think, to do a little show. And the audience was asking us, you know, what happened to them? Where's their costumes? So, I mean, that's kind of great. And then the stage we're dancing on, too, that we love at the Wads, mm-hmm. has a history to it as well in the dance ballet community. And that's it was the first stage that George Balanchine's work premiered in the U.S. And we didn't know that until we were getting to tour the space. And we really loved that stage and want to perform there.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, there's a lot of history with the arts in the Hartford area. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what it is like. So you're entrepreneurs now. You're not just professional dancers. Now you're entrepreneurs, and you have your own ballet company. What has it been like to start your first business? You said right before COVID started, you started the business. So what has that experience been like? Like, share a little bit about the positives, the challenges over the past 18 months.
Well,
I know we could probably talk about that for a few hours, but you know, we'll hear a couple examples.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the hard parts was that we didn't really know everything that went into a nonprofit world. You know, we had been dancers and we had been artists in the nonprofit world, but we never been on like the administrative side or the founding side. So we were all of a sudden talking to lawyers and filing paperwork with, you know, to establish our 501c3 and fundraising. And it was just, that was a huge learning curve, I think, to us, was one to learn the vocabulary and the lingo and to network, because like we said, we're not from Hartford. So it was trying to also then meet people and during the pandemic over Zoom. So those are, I think, would be the big struggles. And then also just stepping into being a boss has been hard, because, you know, it's just right off the bat, I'm wearing two hats. I'm dancing. And then trying to be in the front of the room as well. So that balance, I think, has been difficult. It's been difficult, but okay. Mm-hmm. Just challenging.
Yeah. Something that's been great is, like, through meeting all these people, it's, you know, we're meeting people and they are, like, really, they, like, are really supportive of us. They share our stuff. They come to our things. Like, you know, we start this ballet company and we love ballet and do other people. I don't know, but it's really amazing to see that they do, and they do want to come out for what we are creating and what we're doing. And so it's really amazing to see that.
Mm-hmm. And I'll make sure that we're going to include your website in our show description, but it is neballettheater.com. If people want to check out more about the company and learn about upcoming shows and support both of you. So I appreciate that. While you mentioned, like, meeting people and really promoting this during COVID, at what point did you get to start dancing in person again last year? So, and I'm sure there was a point where you couldn't dance in person and you were doing it virtually. And at what point could you do it in person?
We ended up starting up again at the beginning of when our season would have started. So last September, we ended up starting back again in the studio.
Yeah.
Your season starts in September.
Yes. Yep.
Sorry, Rachel.
No, it's okay. We were still, like, a lot of dancers off for a long period of time, and we're dancing from home all of summer, all of that spring. Which is, I think, the most that we had ever not been in a studio. We were still trying to sneak in, you know, and, like, everybody, when we could have access to space, go in and do it ourselves. But I think we were really lucky because we were a smaller group. It wasn't like there was 50 of us trying to fit into a room at the same time. So we could get back in September, because, like, some of our peers, I think, are just coming back now or had just come back in the spring. We were lucky that we could come back.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a challenge, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier, so you have performances that you put on for the public and people can come watch, but you also mentioned that you have a school as well. So Tell me more about the multiple parts of the company, and you know, do you both work on all those parts, or do you kind of split up the responsibilities?
Yeah, so Rachel and I started the professional part of it. We started with just the, like, professional dancers, adults, all, you know, of college age or older, and from there, one of our dancers, Victoria, told us that she was very passionate about one day wanting to start a school. So we talked to her about that, and she went from there. And so Victoria is the director of the school, and we currently have where they're just training with us on Sundays instead of, so grow, usually you'll go to your studio maybe 4 or 5 days a week, growing up as, like, a middle school or high school student. And so what we're doing is offering an extra training program for these students who already dance at a serious dance school. So they'll come train with us on Sundays for at least 4 hours. Oh, wow. They take class with us, they take point class, and then they also have rehearsals to be in our two of our main stage shows. One is the holiday show in December, and then the spring show in May. So yes, there's 3 levels. There's about 30 students right now, and they're ages 10 to seniors in high school. And one day the plan is to have these students with us all week, you know, just being students of School of New England Ballet Theater. Mm-hmm. But for now, we have trainees who are working really hard. And we just had rehearsals with them today. And so we teach there. Rachel and I will teach two of the levels, and then Victoria teaches the third level. Yeah.
That's very cool.
We help Victoria as she needs it. But, you know, it's really her area. We pretty much stick with the professionals unless she calls us in with the kids, which is kind of lovely. Mm-hmm. And then there is another aspect that we're working on, and that is outreach, being a nonprofit, getting into public schools, and how do we give back to the community in other ways too. And that would fall under the school category a lot of times as well. You know, exposing kids and getting them excited about dance in their public and private schools.
No, I love that. And I wanted to ask you, so why did you make the company a nonprofit versus a for-profit organization?
So that is an interesting question, because most ballet companies in the U.S. are nonprofits. The big major ones are. So most private schools or studios, like where you would go train, that are not connected to like a performing company, those would sometimes be LLCs. But as far as like the professional dancers go, most of them are nonprofits. And it's because, you know, when you're putting on this giant show, it's very expensive, and ticket sales do not cover all the costs. So they do rely a lot on private donors for that.
And hence why you're an LLC. I'm sorry, a nonprofit. That makes sense. So yeah. I want to hit on one final question before I wrap up with my closing question for the show. You mentioned how important it was for you to be more inclusive and be more flexible with your ballet company compared to things that you both had experienced. So you both danced at multiple companies, you mentioned, and there was things you said you wanted to fix. So one of the things you mentioned was you didn't want people to have to choose between their job and you know, performing at your company, which is great. What has been the feedback you've received on some of these ideas that you've put in that have made your company different from some of the other companies you've been at?
So far, everyone's been really great and very excited, and there's been a lot of great feedback that we've been getting. And what's funny is, because, you know, with COVID, I think, and the pandemic, everyone's been having similar conversations in other industries. You know, what does the future look like? And while we were having those conversations, it seemed like so was everybody else at the same time. So things that we were proposing are not unrealistic anymore. So that's very nice, and that's very exciting, is that, you know, things that we were nervous about talking about or suggesting to other dancers, we didn't know how the dance world would perceive it, are things that are now being talked about more openly and are being really welcomed now. So that's good. That's great.
That's interesting how COVID has changed the conversation for some of those things that you were previously worried about. So I'm glad to hear that, because it sounds like you're trying to do a lot to make this accessible for more people, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So thank you again for making time and joining me on the show. I think fascinating careers. I know we could probably talk about this for hours, but I always try to keep the shows to 30 to 35 minutes for my audience. So I want to ask my same question I always close with, which is, and I want to hear from both of you, what is the secret? Like, what's the one thing that you think has helped you reach your full potential with everything you've done with your career? So you're both successful professional dancers. Now you're running your own ballet company. Like, what is the one piece of advice you'd give to my listeners that's helped you be so successful?
I think really, for me, I think, like, go with your gut. Like, when I look back at, like, the different things we talked about, like, I went to college for 1 year after I was told, like, this is what you're supposed to do, you know, and I really didn't feel right there. You know, I just didn't feel like this was right. Other times in my life where I've thought to myself, I don't feel like this is right. And then I, through the process, learned that, like, it wasn't or whatever. Like, go with your gut and, you know, try to pinpoint the feeling of what that gut feeling is, and don't, you know, to really know that it's that true gut feeling, and then go with it. And Yeah.
Thank you.
I think for me it was riding the wave and trusting the wave, you know, that everything goes back up, because sometimes I think it's really easy to get sucked into this, in your low points at least, sucked into the, oh, well, everything's bad right now, so that means mean I'm failing. And that's not at all true. And, you know, just because you're at a low point doesn't mean that you aren't still moving forward, you know, and still on that forward trajectory. So just trusting that it's not a straight shot. It does go in waves. Your emotions, your mental space goes in waves, but that's part of it, and that's okay. And that doesn't mean that you're doing a bad job.
You bring up a great point, Rachel, especially as an entrepreneur. There are a lot of highs and lows. And to your point, right, it's you can ask anyone who owns their own business. It's not easy. And what you two are doing is not easy. So I give you a lot of credit for that. So I think that's both some great advice. So thank you. Again, I'll give a shout out in our show description as well, but it's neballettheater.com is where you can learn more about the New England Ballet Theater. And Emily and Rachel, just absolutely thrilled to have you on and share your really, I think, very unique career journeys as professional dancers, and now the owners of an actual ballet company. I wish you both the best, and I hope my listeners and then other people in the Kinetic area hopefully will check out the website and see some of your upcoming shows, or maybe get in touch with you to send one of their kids to the school, or even, to your point, donate. As you said, you are a nonprofit, so all donations are welcome. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Full Potential Podcast. If you'd like to hear more interviews, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. You can also connect with us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to check out our website, fullpotentialmovement.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing, and be well.